It all depends whose hands it's in. A basketball in my hands is worth about $19. A basketball in Michael Jordan's hands is worth about $33 million. It depends on whose hands it's in. A baseball in my hands is worth about $6. A baseball in Mark McGuire's hands is worth $19 million. It depends whose hands it's in. A tennis racket is useless in my hands. A tennis racket in Pete Sampras's hand in a Wimbledon championship. It depends whose hands it's in. A rod in my hands will keep away a wild animal. A rod in Moses' hands will part the mighty sea. It depends whose hands it's in. A slingshot in my hands is a kid's toy. A slingshot in David's hands is a mighty weapon. It depends whose hands it's in. Two fish and five loaves of bread in my hands is a couple of fish sandwiches. Two fish and five loaves of bread in God's hands will feed thousands. It depends whose hands it's in. Nails in my hands might produce a birdhouse. Nails in Jesus Christ's hands will produce salvation for the entire world. It depends whose hands it's in. As you see, it depends whose hands it's in. So put your concerns, your worries, your fears, your hopes, your dreams, your families, your relationships in God's hands, because it depends whose hands it's in. Isn't it wonderful, my dear? It's so important for us to be able to put everything into the hands of our God. God is the one who takes care of the situations in our lives. Don't take it into your hands, but God, leave it to God. God can do wondrous things. We have been meditating on a wonderful series called Be Still. Maybe you have it in your homes. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Urakundadi nene devudan and telusukonadi. Just keep quiet. Chup ho jao. Mahi parameshwar hu. Psalm chapter 46 and verse 10. And during the course of these past weeks, we have meditated various elements and sermons that relate to be still. Just as a recap, first we meditated on Psalm 46 verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. And later we meditated on know and be still. Not only be still and know, but know and be still to accept God's will in our lives. When Elisha realized that Elijah was being taken away, he said these words. He said, I know, be still. I know, God is taking him away. I know the one with whom I'm closely associated with is being taken away. I know, be still. Knowing that God is in control of our situations. And thirdly, we meditated on stand still and see the salvation of God. When Moses was encouraging the people of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt and when they had a sea in front of them and the Pharaoh and his chariots coming behind them, that rod that was in his hand made a difference because he obeyed what God told him and the Red Sea parted. Stand still and see the salvation of God. And fourthly, we have meditated on stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Job's story. In the life of Job, how he wonderfully was able to hear that statement. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. When he was going through sufferings in his life, he was able to be encouraged through these words. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. If you haven't been following this, maybe you could as you go to the website and listen to the sermons. Today we are going to meditate on another element of the Be Still series that is taken from Ruth chapter 3 and verse 18, all of us. Let us, as it is projected here, please do join me, and you have the sermon notes with you. If you need a paper or the pen or pencil, please do ask the brothers who are on the back seats. You can fill in the blanks as it shows up here. This I've taken from the New King James Version, because in your translations it might use different words, but I've picked it from the New King James Version. Ruth chapter 3 and verse 18. All together, please, shall we read this? Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. Note it down. Please fill in the blanks as it is projected here. The reason why we keep asking us to write it down is not only seeing, not only hearing, but writing gives us a better concentration of the Word of God. When we focus so much in our own personal studies, secular studies, how much more do we need to do that when it comes to the Word of God? Study God's Word. And that is the whole reason we are asking you, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. Let's read this in Hindi altogether, please. Usne kaha, hey, mere beti, jab tak tu na jane ki is baat ka kaisa fal niklega, tab tak chupa chup baithe rah, kyunki aaj us purush ko ya kaam bina niptaye chain na padega. I hope you understood. The same thing in a Hindi language. Let's read this in Telugu language. Appudu ame na kumari ee sangati neti dinamuna naraverchutene kaani aa manushudu oorakundadu ganuka idi elagu jaruguno neeku teliyu varaku oorakundamaneno oorakundamaneno. The same word chuphoja oorakundamaneno, it is translated in some of the translations as sit still, some translations wait, and various words that are used. Sit still, wait. When it says wait or to sit still, we need to wait upon the Lord. That's what it means. Hope. And here in English, it says, till he does it. What does it say? Until the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. Where is the waiting then? You might say, where is the waiting? This day, it says. God wants us, even within a day's frame also, we need to wait upon him. And that is what we are going to meditate upon. So, sit still and listen to the word of God and wait upon the Lord as to what he has in plan for us. This is the Middle East area, which is taken from the Google map. If you have been there, wonderful. If you haven't, this is how it looks. The countries where we keep seeing in the news, Iraq, Iran, Kuwait, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, Israel, Red Sea down there, Egypt, Turkey, and many other places are well known. And the focus of our attention would be on the place where I have put a box there, which is Israel. Which is Israel. If we go back, the same map in the Old Testament time, this is how it was. Maybe some of the words, some of the say, places are still the same. Some of them are renamed. So if you see some of the places that I think you still are aware of, so this, the area of the Babylon, Assyria, the Iran, Iraq area now, and all that. And in those days, in the Old Testament world, it was called Canaan. And that is the focus again that we are going to look at. And these people of Israel, they went to the land of Egypt in the book of Genesis towards the end of Genesis. And they were in the land of Egypt for 400 years of bondage. And under the leadership of Moses, they come, they cross the Red Sea and occupy the land of Canaan. They go down this way from the Red Sea, and also they cross Jordan River. They cross two, one the Red Sea, the other is Jordan River, to be able to capture the promised land, which is Canaan. When they capture the promised land, this is how they have divided the area, the land of Canaan, amongst the tribes of Israel. This is how they had. The reason why I'm showing is this is geographically also, it helps us to understand better. All these names of the sons of Israel, they have occupied the various places. The southern part, primarily Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin on the top. And then various other tribes, Ephraim, Dan, Manasseh, Asher, Naphtali, they're all occupied. If you see here, always I keep focusing on this element of two seas, on the one on the top, which is the Sea of Galilee, and the bottom, the Dead Sea, and the river that connects the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea is the Jordan River. I keep emphasizing it because most of the biblical incidents that have happened are circled around this area. And this is when, under the leadership of Joshua, they occupied this place. So on either side of the Jordan River, they occupied the places. And there were enemies, lands, Arameans, Ammonites, Moabites, Edomites. These are all the enemies that were occupying. If you on the left side, there is Philistines as well. They were all the enemies when these people of Israel occupied this whole land of Canaan. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Wonder where the book of Ruth is? Is it before Psalms? Or is it before 1 Samuel? Where is the book of Ruth? Confusing sometimes, right? Is that book of Ruth say, before or after? Book of Ruth is just immediately after the book of Judges. Why? Why is it put beside the book of Judges? Let us read Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, now it came about in the days when the judges governed. This is happened during the time of judges. Judges were taking care of this people of Israel, this whole land of Canaan. The judges were ruling after Joshua. The judges were taking care of it under the leadership of the various judges that we know. And during this time, I don't clearly know at what which judge was ruling at that time, but it was generically told that it came about in the days when the judges governed, that there was a famine in the land. That there was a famine in the land. Many times in the biblical history, because of the famine in the land, people had traveled from one place to the other place. Because of the famine in the land, they went to the land of Egypt. And it took some time for us to return to the promised land. Because of the famine in the land, famine talks about the first thing that you want to write down in your sermon notes that we want to see is loss. If you want to note down, the first L in that circle that you have is loss. Famine is symbolic in general from a loss perspective. There is something they're losing. They're losing the benefits. They're losing the daily food. They're losing the daily benefits. That's what they were considering. There was a famine in the land. A land flowing with milk and honey. A promised land. During the judges' time, let me tell you, there were terrible situations that were happening. Though it was a promised land filled with milk and honey, because of the people's disobedience, God allowed certain things to happen in their lives. If you look just one chapter before Ruth 1, which is Judges chapter 21. Judges chapter 21. It says in verse 25, the last verse, very terrible ending of this particular book. Judges chapter 21 and verse 25. Please read. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That was the cause of the situations that they were facing in their lives. Not only from their own spiritual relationship with God, physically also they were going through tough times. There was famine in the land. Everyone was doing right in his own eyes. Book of Judges is repeatedly talking about this very terrible statement of doing right. Everybody wants to do right. But the worst part is, they were doing right in their own eyes. It's good to me, it's right to me. Many times we feel that we are doing right. Sometimes we are fooled by our own so-called wisdom, which is foolishness in the sight of God, that we think we are doing right. But doing right in the eyes of God is more important than just saying I'm doing right. Because there is nothing that you can compare right with other than the one who is right, who is a righteous one, which is God himself. Because they were not doing right in the sight of God, they were going through tough times in their lives. They were going through some terrible situations. And in here in verse 1, Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1, they were going through loss. Famine in the land, probably they were not getting enough. Maybe they had to pay more in order to be able to get that less. So they are losing money. They are losing their property, probably their fields that they own. They are not producing the necessary fruit that they expect to. Famine is a situation that you and I go through in our lives. Famine is a situation that causes dryness in our lives. Maybe your personal lives, your family lives, and whatever situation that you are going through, remember, We go through famine in our lives because of various situations that come through. What do we do in that situation? What do we see here? There was a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah. Man of Bethlehem in Judah. Just to show you this map, Bethlehem is around 6 miles south of Jerusalem in the land of Judah. Bethlehem. You know the place of Bethlehem. Everybody knows Bethlehem. It is related to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's birth as well. So Bethlehem, there was a man of Bethlehem in Judah, went to sojourn in the land of Moab. Moab was one of the sons, illegitimate sons of Lot through his daughter. And these Moabites were the enemies in the sight of God and the land of people. But what did this man do? He traveled with his family from Bethlehem. I don't know how he went. Maybe he went past north or I don't know, south. But he traveled all the way to Moab. Moab. He completely left the land of Canaan. The promised land where God has provided everything. And he wanted people to be able to obey him and follow his law. But these people, when they went through famine, what did he do? Certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his sons, with his two sons. Wonderful family. Husband, wife, two sons. What a wonderful family that is. They were having wonderful experience in the land of Judah. What happened? Famine came in. The moment famine came in, what did he do? Let's get out of this place. We have something, some problem. Get out of this place. Oh, it's a sojourning. We are just sojourning. Sojourning means short stay. Short stay. It always starts like that. They've moved out. If you are in a place where God has kept you in order to be able to grow in him, to be able to obey his word, in order to be able to live up to him, what do? When we go through tough times, we leave that place. We want to be able to find greener pastures. And what did he do? He totally left that place and moved to Moab. His name was Elimelech. His wife's name Naomi. His two sons Mahlon and Chilion. Verse 2. Now they entered the land of Moab and remained there. They went to sojourn there and they went and remained there. What they thought? Oh, these are wonderful. Now I don't have any famine. There is enough supply now. Physically they were hoping to have things that they want. More than the promise that God had given them to be able to stay there. Because of the things that they want to personally be able to have benefits, physical benefits, they moved to the land of Moab. Loss. The loss has turned out to loss and loss and loss and loss. Women, maybe you have meditated many times the book of Ruth. Men, probably a few times. But let me tell you, there's a wonderful stories. Through this story, we can learn wonderful lessons. So here, I just want to fast forward a little for the benefit of each one of us in terms of time. That these people, when they went to the land of Moab, they thought everything is fine. Honky-dory, food and everything, no more famine. Those people, our people there in the land of Judah are suffering through. We are fine in the land of Moab. Land of Moab, a sin city, or in other words, where God's presence is not expected to be there. Totally, the word Moab, talking about the Gentile place. The place where these people who are supposed to be in the presence of God, in the promise of God, they left. And the moment they left, they have experienced terrible things. Elimelech died. Naomi was left alone with two sons. A widow with two sons. Wonderful family of husband, wife, two sons. Moved into a widow with two sons. 10 years they stayed. These two sons, verse 4, they took for themselves. They thought they were doing right in their own sight. They took for themselves Moabite women as wives. And lived there about 10 years. Another loss. Husband, wife, two sons resulted in a widow and two sons. And now, widow, two sons and their wives. The two sons died. Again another loss. What happened? One widow, two widows, three widows. What a terrible situation this is. For the sake of physical needs or blessings to be able to forego the blessings of the Lord, they moved from Judah to Moab. They were given that place to be able to occupy and live there and live according to the word of God. So they moved out of all of it. So here we notice that the loss went on and on and on. And as we read, as I was reading through these first five verses, there was no mention of God. There was no mention of God. There was a famine. They moved. I don't know if they have prayed about it. Shall we go to the land of Moab? They went through the loss one after the other. There was no mention of God in this. And in verse 6, Naomi realized that the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. That is when she realized that God visits his people. God visited, the Lord visited his people, the Jehovah visited his people in giving them food. That is when probably she realized God allows us to go through famine in our lives. God gives us, God takes us, takes away. Job said, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just because God has taken away, it is not that I will move out of the will of God. There was no mention of depending on the Lord as to where we should go, what should we do. Shall we live in this famine and wait upon the Lord? Shall we be in the place where God kept us, or should we move out of the God's will to rely on God's will? Now she realized and she said, I'm going to go back. And she told her daughters-in-law, go return to your mother's house. But you know the story. One of them, she remained with her, which is Ruth. And she said wonderfully in verse 14, and they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Doesn't clearly tell that Orpah left her. Kissed her means kissed her goodbye. And Ruth, the other daughter-in-law, a Moabitess woman, a Gentile. Naomi and Ruth, this story talking about what is happening. Naomi is a representation of a believer or the one who is under the promise of God. And Ruth, who is a Gentile, the Jew and a Gentile. How God, or in a New Testament perspective, a believer and a non-believer. How a believer should be able to continuously be in the will of God rather than moving here and there out of the will of God. If it is God's will, that is a different story. But if it is not under the will of God, if you haven't relied upon God for the next steps, even if it is famine, stay there. God has his plans. And Naomi realized it. And she felt, I need to return. I want to go back. Just like the prodigal son. He left and then he returned. Believer, if you are a believer in Lord Jesus Christ, if you are going away from the will of God, come back. Come back. God wants to be able to bring you back. The things that you have lost. The loss is clearly seen here. But next thing that we see here, in verse 16, Ruth said, do not argue with me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you will go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Oh, you might say, but brother, I've heard a lot of sermons related to that. This is not so new for me. Maybe it's not new, but God wants to refresh each one of us with the same manna, but it is a fresh manna. Fresh manna. For where you will go, I will go. Ruth, as a Moabitess woman, Gentile, the moment she realized from the mouth of Naomi, Naomi started using the word Lord. She used the word the Lord. It says here in verse 13, the Lord has gone forth against me. Though she was saying that God has really made me go through these tough times in my life in terms of the loss of my husband, my sons, in all these situations. Now I'm going to lose you as well, is what she was saying. The Lord, maybe Maybe it's not recorded here, but in all their conversations, Naomi must have told Ruth about Lord Jehovah. He is the God. He is the one who has brought us out of the land of Egypt. He was the one who took us into the land of Canaan and given us the place where we had to be there. But because of the famine, we thought that it's better to move out of this place. We went through those tough times. And probably Ruth also realized that what a wonderful God he is. That he has promised, though he allows famine because of the disobedience of people, he's a God who will revisit in order to be able to give back what they have lost. And Ruth realized that and she clung on. She clung to what Naomi had said about that God. And if you see here, she said, I will go where you will go. Where you lodge, going, when if you are traveling, I'm going to come with you. If you're lodging or if you're staying somewhere, I'm going to come with you. Your people shall be my people. Being a Gentile, she said, now that I know who this God is, I want to come and hold on to him. Maybe you're not a believer in Lord Jesus Christ. You're hearing now, like Naomi was talking to Ruth about that God who is a deliverer. We have heard in the worship message. Who is the one who brings us out of our darkness and our enemies. If he is a God who has done it, is famine too difficult for him to be able to take away? There were famines. Even in the land of Egypt, when during the reign of Joseph, there was famine. Famine happens at every place. You can't keep jumping from one place to the other place because of famine. But you have to be in the place where God wants you to be. And here we notice that Ruth realized that God. And you know what she said? Your people shall be my people. Your God, my God. The word Elohim. Your Elohim is my Elohim. Not any God. Your God, the capital G-O-D. Elohim. She used the word Elohim. When Naomi was talking about Yahuwah, she was talking also about Elohim. What a wonderful thing it is. We are reading in English, God is just a kind of a God we think about. But this Elohim, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. It is Elohim. And that Elohim is mentioned by Ruth here, my dear. She was able to know who this Elohim is. And the moment she came to know this Elohim, Jehovah, Lord God, she did not want to stay in the place where she was. She wanted to go to the place, the promised land. These people who came out of the promised land, God used that scenario that happened for them to move out to bring the Gentile into the land of Canaan. And that is what we see here. I will die where you die, and I will be buried. May the Lord do to me, verse 17, may the Jehovah do to me, the verse, if anything but death parts you and me. Talking about the allegiance. Talking about the fact that this God whom you serve, I want to serve that God. I don't want to leave the God whom you serve. Because you are going, I will go with you, fellowship with you. Because you are going to the place where you are supposed to go. You are returning. I'm coming. She was returning because she went out of the place and coming back. Ruth was born in the land of Moab. She wanted to know what that place is. What is that place where we can fellowship with God and God's people? I want to come with you. I don't want to go anywhere. I want to come with you. That is the kind of the allegiance that you and I should have. We may be either like Naomi or like Ruth. Never heard about that God. Come to God. If you have heard about God, but because of the situations you are backsliding, come back to God. When you come back to God, tell others that God has dealt with me. I want to go back. Enough of it. And that is where Ruth, what she did, not only did she experience the loss of her own life and her mother-in-law's life, but she said she kept the loyalty. The loss did not result in complete disaster, but the loss that they've experienced in the land of Moab resulted in loyalty of Ruth to follow after Naomi, who is going up towards going back to God. Returning, she was returning to the God, to the Lord God. She used both the words. Wonderful, really, I like this. In verse 16, she used the word Elohim God. In verse 17, she used the word Jehovah Lord. She was able to know that. There are many interpretations of this particular verse. But as I was studying through, I was able to understand. It is not about the Naomi, but it is about the God of Naomi. It is about the Lord of Naomi that she was after. She said, I am going to come with you. Fellowship is also important. She could have said, you go, Naomi, your God, my God. You go, you are yourself. No, I want to cling on to you. That is the whole purpose of a fellowship like this. I want to be encouraged by what you are doing. You may be going through tough times. Naomi would have kept quiet. She wouldn't have told anything about God to Ruth, but she told. If she had not told to Ruth about the Lord God, Ruth wouldn't have used those words, let me tell you. And she comes back to the land of Bethlehem again in verse 22. So Naomi returned with her Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem. Return, my dear. Maybe you are going through situations in your life of loss. The time has come for you to return. And maybe you have never come to Christ. Maybe the time has come for you to come to Christ. Both are important. Maybe you are born in a Christian family, going through so many things. But don't be like the sons of Elimelech, who chose for themselves the daughters of Moab and went through disaster in their lives. There was no mention of God. There was no mention of God's will. There was no mention of anything. And they went through loss. But God preserved Naomi and Ruth, and they came back. And here it says, they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest, harvesting time. Now, both of them are strong. Doesn't matter what their background is. One, a believer who backslided. I mean, probably, I'm just trying to assign to what Naomi went through and came back. She returned. And Ruth, who was from nowhere, she came to Bethlehem. Now both of them are fellow believers. They now came. What is their job? Now here it says they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of harvest. Harvest time has come. Harvest. What is harvest? Harvesting them. The harvest is plentiful, the Bible says. Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest will send out laborers in order to be able to work in my vineyard. Harvest is plentiful. They realized that when they came out of the situation they were in, they realized there was a harvest in front of them, my dear. Harvest is there. Please read verse 22 in any other language. 1:22. Bethlehem, in the barley harvest. Any other language, please? 22. So what is the word for harvest? Javni? Jau. Okay, any other language? Kota, harvest. And that is what is very important to realize. The moment these two have become strong in the Lord, helping each other, holding hands and say, let us go, the harvest is there. God said, not only now have you experienced loss, now you have shown forth your loyalty. You know what loyalty is? Have you heard about the word loyalty? Maybe it's a new word for us. Somebody who bought a Toyota Corolla, they go back and say, I want to buy a Toyota Camry now. They say, oh, you're so loyal to Toyota. You don't want to buy any other brand. You want to buy only that brand. Even if that is one, I buy another one. Loyalty means, and they also give special deals for who are loyalty members. Because you keep buying from them, you get better benefits. Loyalty means to be able to hold on and stick on to something that you held on to. When it comes to God, we need to be loyal to God. The third thing that we can learn today is not only loss, loyalty, and labor. chapter 2 talks about laboring. The harvest is there. Now that the harvest is there, they have come to realize the loyalty towards their God, loyalty towards each other. They had to go through labor. The harvest is there. When the harvest is there, they have to work. It takes work in order to be able to see the Lord doing his wondrous things. And see here in chapter 2, verse 1. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband. Kinsman. It might use the word relative in some of the translations. It might use the word redeemer as well in some of the translations. Kinsman, bandhuvudu, a relative. Here he says, a man of great wealth, family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor. So she's telling Naomi, please let me apply for some jobs. I need to get a job. I'm going to keep filing my resume in various places. So let me go and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor. There are multiple fields. There are multiple job opportunities. I want to apply for a job. Labor. There's a harvest. The job is for me to glean the harvest. So she was applying for jobs. Applying for jobs. Going through tough times. Having come from no place. She was a foreigner. Having come here to the land of Judah. Now she needs a visa probably. Or she needs a foreign national work visa job. Ruth was going through all of this. She needs a job. Maybe you're here waiting for a job as a foreign national. Ruth was also doing the same thing. What was Ruth doing? She was sharing with Naomi and saying, I'm sure they would have been considering many factors as a fellowship to pray together and say, oh, yes, let's try. Let us not only just depend on the Lord as to pray unto him, but depend on the Lord as to how to file my resume. How to make sure that I am what I am. Not to keep putting something which is off the track. I want to be genuine in what I'm going to do. So she went ahead as she was to be able to show forth the kind of job that she could get. So she departed in verse 3 and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. She happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz. She applied various jobs and she finally found another company or a field, in other words, where she applied. And where it says in verse 4, now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, may the Lord be with you. And they said, may the Lord bless you. What a wonderful man of God who was probably the CEO of that field. Who was taking care. And he said the way he was working with his employees was, may the Lord be with you. And in return they said, may the Lord bless you. What a wonderful experience that would be to work in such a kind of a company, right? Maybe you are in a position where you manage people. How do you live? How do you treat the people who you work with? Do you boss over them so much? Maybe you're a lead, project lead, or whatever is the responsibility that you have. Boaz was in the highest position in the land, in the company that he was handling. What did he do? May the Lord be with you. It is depending on the Lord for everything. And it's the Lord who blesses your company as well. And that is how it should be. And then he asks, who is this new applicant? In verse 5, who is this young woman in this? And what did they say? She is the young Moabite woman in verse 6 who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. No change in her resume. She was what she was. She did what she was doing. I came from the land of Moab. She didn't say that I am so and so. I changed my background. No, her background can never change. She came. And then she said, verse 7, she had an interview. Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. And in verse 8, Boaz said to Ruth, listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. He said, you got the offer. You got the job. Don't go anywhere else. Don't apply anymore. You got this job. Take it. Don't go anywhere else. The moment you are stuck into the particular harvest that you have, take it as a church, for example. You are trying to fit in the church that you want to go, one field after the another field, another field. What do I do? Which church can I plug into? The moment you come to the place where you realize the presence of God and God speaking to us through his word and realizing that this is the place that God has kept you, cling on to it and help others. Join with the other maids, meaning other workers. Work with other people. Whether you want to consider it from a job perspective, whether you want to consider from a church, local church association perspective, there are many things that we can learn, my dear. Look, your eyes on the field in verse 9, which they reap. Look, there is work ahead of us. Let us work together. Let us work together. We need such kind of workers, whether it is in a secular field or whether it is in a spiritual field, F-I-E-L-D, the harvest field. And then, in verse 10, she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" God is a God who gives it in his time, my dear. You do your work. You do your job of applying in a genuine fashion. God can do wondrous things. Don't ever think that you want to change certain things. Your background cannot be changed. Your future is in the hands of God, but your background is done. God can do wondrous things based on your background also. Don't try to change your background. If that is not what has happened in your life, why do you want to put that in your life? And then he says, in verse 12, "May the Lord," Boaz said, "may the Lord reward your work, and your wages will be full from the Lord. Your salary also will be fine. Don't you worry about it." In terms of a secular job, when it comes to the work of the Lord will reward you. Don't expect somebody in the church to reward you. God is the one who's going to reward you if you are going to work genuinely and sincerely in the harvest that he has kept you in the field that he has kept you in. Don't be hopping here and there and there and here, unable to plug into any one place. It is not about the distance. If you can plug into a place where you can, if your job is 45 minutes away, you are ready to go. But if your church is 45 minutes away, you think about it. If your children want to get into a school, which is a better school, magnet school, even if it is a far distance, you are ready to send them, right? How much more you should be concerned about your spiritual life. It is not about anything, my dear. If God gives you a heart, all these will be shadows. There is always a reason to say that I cannot come. It is about priorities. It is about how you consider the thing that God has kept you for. It is not about anything. I tell you, there are people who travel distances in order to be able to spend time in fellowshipping with God. A lot of people say, "There is some church beside you. Why don't you go there?" Yes, there are so many. Right beside your house itself, there could be a church. It is about where you can plug in. Where not only you are being benefited, but where you can contribute, just like Ruth was contributing. Look out for such a kind and plug into it. Whether it's your job, whether it's your kids' schools, or whether it is your church, this is very important, my dear. Labor intensively in the field that God has kept you, in the ministry that God has kept you in. Are you being faithful in the ministry that you are called for? Are you doing the way you should? You have a great job in your secular job. Maybe you are paid for it. That's why maybe you are doing. But how about in the work of the Lord? You may be saying, "What am I going to get out of this? Why should I spend so many hours?" Let me tell you, in verse 12, "May the Lord reward your work, and your wages will be full from the Lord," not little. He will give you in full, let me tell you. You do faithfully, he will do it, because you have come under the wings of God of Israel. You have taken refuge. And the thing moves on and moves on and on. Now in chapter 3, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you? that I may dwell well with you. Now the time has come. Towards the end of this particular chapter 3 and 4, there is something that is going to happen. There was a loss. There was a loyalty the moment she heard about the Lord God. And she not only felt that she wanted to go after her mother-in-law to work together. And she said, not only clinging on to you, but I want to work. I just don't want to sit with you, my mother-in-law. Whatever the place where it is, I'll just sit and beg. No. She said, I'm going to work. I'm going to labor in the vineyard where I'm going to go in and where the Lord has taken me to. And that's how she ends up in Boaz's vineyard or the field. The Lord has brought you into his vineyard. The Lord wants you to work. And here we notice that there was, towards the end, there was something that has happened between Ruth and Boaz. And she notices that Boaz was going to take her into his fold. And we notice there that Naomi was fully aware of the things that were happening. It was not up by herself that Ruth was doing. Naomi was part and parcel of guiding her. She was not only like a mother-in-law, but like a mother. Relationships are very important, my dear. It is not about in-laws relationship and all that. Let me tell you one thing. When God has brought two people in marriage, now you have two families to take care of. Your people or my people. And that is how you should live out your families. My in-laws, their family, they do it. My family, we do it. No! And that is why in some places, they call their mother-in-law mother. Maji, they say. They don't differentiate mother from mother-in-law. That is how families should be. There shouldn't be any differences. Oh, there could be background differences. Naomi was born and brought up probably in Judah. And Ruth was in Moab. Backgrounds are different. Brought ups are different. But the moment they are in the Lord, they are not in-laws anymore. They are in the Lord. She is mother in the Lord, not mother-in-law. There was a story that has happened. And sometime, I don't remember how many years ago, there was a lady who was planned to be brought from India to United States. This was, I still know, she lives in New York. And one of the brothers here, she sent a letter to be able to sponsor her to come to this country. She's no way related to her, but in the family of God, in the church of God, he sent a letter because Brother Bak Singh, he asked him to send a letter to this lady. And he wrote a letter and said, I want to invite you to come to this country. And she goes to the consulate office and she gives that letter. And when she gives that letter, the immigration officer asked him, how is that man related to you? How is that man related to you, the one who sponsored you? And this lady said, he is my brother in the Lord. And that immigration officer said, oh, brother-in-law, okay. And he signed it and then let him go. He didn't hear properly. This lady said, he is my brother in the Lord. God can do wondrous things, even in such kind of little stories. But these things always I remember because God can do marvelous and miracles in the lives of people. And that's how she came. Her whole family is here. They attend a church in New York as well. So the thing that I want to share about here is that God is a God who can do wondrous things. Mother-in-law and daughter-in-law relationship is wonderful in this particular story. Maybe it's a father-in-law, son-in-law, or sister-in-law, brother-in-law. I don't know whatever is the kind of in-law relationships you have. Forget about in-law and make it in the Lord. Or in other words, in love. Mother-in-love, daughter-in-love, sister-in-law. Have that kind of relationship, my dear. You will see a difference in your own family. You will see. Maybe you're going through in-law issues. Maybe it's a time for you to be able to forget about L-A-W and think about L-O-V-E, love. In the Lord, have love. And that is what Naomi was so concerned about her daughter-in-law that she said in verse 18. What does it say? Please read verse 18.
Then she said, "Wait, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out. For the man will not rest until he has settled it today."
Wait, my daughter, or sit still, my daughter. She didn't say my daughter-in-law. She said, my daughter. Live it out. Those who are getting married, those who are married, learn how to be able to have relationships with the ones who are you are getting married to. That is the kind of relationship that you have. Maybe you may not call it that way, like daughter, etc. If you want to call. That's much more better. Show it in words and actions as well. Sit still, my daughter, Kumari, na Kumari. What a wonderful experience that is. Wait until you know. Sit still until you know. She was guiding her in order to be able to wait for the will of God to be accomplished. She said that this man will not keep quiet until he is going to redeem you. Until he is going to redeem you. That day, the wonderful day that happened in chapter 4, the kinsman redeemer, or a relative who is going to redeem him. There was a land that Elimelech had, and there was a redeemer, a close relative that can purchase that land. There was a closer relative than Boaz, but that man said, I cannot take the people. I can take the land, but not the people. Oh, I cannot do that. I cannot redeem, he said in verse 6. And that is when Boaz said, I am going to purchase. I'm going to take in. And that is where we see the first thing about Boaz, that he was the redeemer. He was the redeemer of this family. He was the redeemer of Ruth. He was the redeemer of Ruth. What he did? He said, I bought from the hand of Naomi, verse 9, all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. I have acquired Ruth, verse 10, the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife. What a wonderful experience that is. That now she was experienced love, which is ultimate marriage, the wedding. That is the ultimate one. Till such time she was laboring. Laboring to the extent of the marriage or the wedding that was going to happen in future. And he sees here and she accepts her as his wife in verse 13. And then the Lord enabled her to conceive and she gave birth to a son. And in verse 14 it says, then the women said to Naomi, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, without a kinsman today, and may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer. The second thing, please note it down. Redeemer, verse 15, may he also be to you a restorer and a sustainer, or in other words, a nourisher. The third thing that you can notice is, may he be to you a nourisher today. May he be to you of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you is better to you than seven sons has given birth to him. All these relationships are not all, it's not like comparison, your side, my side, and all, nothing. Your daughter-in-law who loves you is better to you than seven sons has given birth to him. And Ruth became, in the family of Ruth and Boaz, was born David. And from that, Jesus Christ has come into this world. He is our Redeemer, my dear. This particular story reminds us of a wonderful story that God had planned. Not only of the people he has chosen, but also the people who are Gentiles. God brought both of them together. In the sight of God, both are equal. Whether it is Naomi or Ruth, whether it is a Jew or a Gentile, God wanted to bring them together as believers in Christ. And he wants us to work, to labor in his vineyard. Because the day will come, he's going to come and take his bride for the marriage of the Lamb. And that is what the love affair is in terms of being able to experience the wonderful, the marriage relationship and the wedding that has happened in chapter 4. May the Lord bless this word and enable us to learn wonderful lessons from this particular story. All you should do is just sit still until you know the things that will happen. Naomi was continuously encouraging Ruth to be able to wait upon the Lord for everything that has happened in her life. Do you have a person like that in your life? Do you have a person with whom you can share the situations that you are going through in terms of your joblessness, in terms of your marriage, in terms of your family situations, in terms of your financial situations, whatever be it? What are you doing? Do you have somebody with whom you can cling on to and say, your people are my people? The best relationship is between a husband and wife. Husbands and wives, are you able to stand forth together and be able to handle all your situations in your life, job, in-laws relationship, financial relationships, bring them up together and take it to the Lord? You will experience the wondrous things God has in plan for you. Just as Ruth and Boaz's story ended up in love and love and love continuously to the extent of being the ones in the lineage of Jesus Christ. There's no blessing than that. God wants to enable each one of us to have such a kind of a blessing from His side. May the Lord bless this word.